8. Fred Huff, personal assistant to PSS Director Barnes, placed a list on his superior's desk and said,
"Pardon me, but you asked for a daily report on apartment 3XX24J, and here it is. We used standard tapes of voices to identify those who came by. Only one person, one new person, I mean, came by. A Nicholas Appleton."
"Doesn't sound like much," Barnes said.
"We ran it through the computer, the one we lease from the University of Wyoming. It made an interesting extrapolation as soon as it had all previous material on this Nicholas Appleton. His age, occupation, background, is he married, does he have any children, has he ever..."
"He's never broken the law before in any manner whatsoever."
"You mean he's never been caught?" "We asked the computer that too. What are the chances, given this particular man, that he would knowingly violate the law at the felony level?" "It said, probably no, he would not."
"He did when he went to 3XX24J, Barnes said caustically.
"So noted. Hence the application from the computer for a prognosis. Extrapolating from his case and others similar to it during the last few hours, the computer declares that the news of Corden's impending execution has already swelled the ranks of the Cordonite underground by 40%.
"Balls," Director Barnes said.
"That's how it works out statistically."
"You mean they've joined in protest? Openly?"
"Not openly, no. In protest, yes."
"Ask the computer what the reaction will be to the announcement of Corden's death."
"It can't compute. Not enough data. Well, it computed, but in so many possible ways as to tell us nothing. 10%, a mass uprising. 15%, a refusal to believe that..."
"The greatest probability is what?"
"A belief that Corden is dead, but that Provoni is not. That he's alive and will return, even without Corden. You must remember that thousands, authentic or forged, writings by Corden are being circulated everywhere on Earth every minute of the day. His death isn't going to end that. Remember the famous revolutionary of the 20th century, Che Guevara? Even though dead, the diary which he left behind..."
"Like Christ," Barnes said. He felt depressed. He had begun to brood. "Kill Christ, and you get the New Testament. Kill Che Guevara, and you get a diary that's a book of instructions on how to gain power all over the world. Kill Corden." A buzzer on Barnes' desk buzzed. "Yes, Council Chairman," Barnes said into the intercom. "I have Ossifer Noyes with me." He nodded to her, and she rose from the leather-covered chair facing his desk. "We'll come in." He motioned to her, feeling at the same time a stiff dislike of her. He did not like police women in general, and especially those who like to wear the uniform. A woman, he had mused long ago, should not be in uniform. The female informers did not bother him, because in no way were they required to surrender their femininity. Police Ossifer Noyes was sexless, in actual physiological fact. She had undergone Snyder's operation so that both legally and physically speaking, she was not a woman. She had no sex organs as such, no breasts. Her hips were as narrow as a man's, and her face was fathomless and cruel. "Just think," Barnes said to her as they walked down the corridor, past the double rows of weapons police guards, and came to Willis Graham's massive, ornate oak door. "How good you'd feel if you had, after all, managed to get something on Irma Graham. Too bad."
He nudged her as the door opened, and they entered Graham's bedroom office. In his huge bed, Graham lay buried in piles of sections of the Times, an expression of cunning on his face.
"Council Chairman," Barnes said, "this is Ellis Noyes, the special ossifer who has been in charge of obtaining material relating to the moral habits of your wife."
"I've met you before," Graham said to her.
"Correct, Council Chairman," Ellis Noyes said, nodding.
Graham said calmly, "I want my wife murdered by Eric Corden on live worldwide TV." Barnes stared at him. Peacefully, Graham stared back, the look of animal cunning still on his face. After a pause, Alice Noyes said,
"It would, of course, be easy to snuff her. A fatal squib accident during a shopping tour to Europe or Asia. She makes them all the time. But by Eric Corden..."
"That's the inventive part," Graham said.
After a pause, Alice Noyes said,
"Respectfully, Council Chairman, are we supposed to work out the project, or do you have ideas as to how we should or could proceed? The more you tell us, the better our position operationally would be, all the way down to the working level."
Graham eyed her. "By all that, do you mean do I know how to do it?"
"I'm puzzled too," Director Barnes said at this point. "I am trying, first of all, to imagine the effect this would have on the average citizen if Corden did a thing of this sort."
"They'd know that all the love and gift-giving and mutual help and empathy and cooperation among old men, new men, and unusuals, they'd know it was so much bombastic bilge. And I'd be rid of Irma. Don't forget that part, Director. Don't forget that part."
"I'm not forgetting that part," Barnes said, "but I still don't see how it can be done."
"At Corden's execution," Graham said, "all top officials of the government will be present, including wives. My wife. Corden will be brought out by a dozen or so armed police guards. The TV cameras will be getting it all. Don't forget that. Then all of a sudden, by just one of those flukes that happens, Corden grabs a hand weapon from an ossifer, aims it at me, but misses me and snuffs Irma, who will, of course, be sitting beside me."
"Jesus God," Director Barnes said heavily. He felt enormous weight gather over him, bowing him down. "Are we supposed to alter Corden's brain so he's compelled to do it? Or do we just ask him to? If he'd mind..."
"Corden will already be snuffed," Graham said. "The day before, at the latest."
"Then how..." Graham said.
"His brain will be replaced by a synthetic neurocontrol turret, which will direct him to do what we want him, or it, rather, to do. That's easy enough. We'll get Amos Ild to install it."
"The new man who's building the Great Ear?" Barnes asked. "You intend to ask him to help you do this?"
"It's like this," Graham said. "If he doesn't, I'll cut off all funds for the development of the Great Ear, and we'll get some other new man capable of scooping out Corden's brain."
He halted. Alice Noyes had shuddered.
"Sorry. Remove his brain, then, if you prefer it put that way. In any case, it's the same thing. What do you say, Barnes? Isn't this brilliant?"
He paused. There was silence.
"Answer me."
"It would help," Barnes said carefully, "to discredit the Underman movement. But the risk is too great. The risk outweighs the possible gain. You have to look at it that way, with all due respects."
"What risk?"
"First of all, you'll have to bring a top-level new man into this, which makes you dependent on them, which you absolutely don't want to be. And those laboratory synthetic brains they're making in their research centers, they're not dependable. It might go berserk and shoot everyone, including you. I wouldn't want to be out there when that thing emerges with a gun and starts through its programming. I want to be a million miles away for the sake of my own hide."
"You don't like the idea, then," Graham said.
"My statement could be so construed," Barnes said, pulsing inside with indignation, which Graham, of course, picked up.
"What do you think, Noyes?" Graham asked the policewoman.
"I think," Noyes said, "that it's the most fantastically brilliant plan I've ever encountered."
"See?"
Graham said to Barnes. Curious, Barnes said to her, "When did you arrive at that conclusion? A moment ago, when the council chairman talked about..."
"It was merely his choice of words. That to do with scooping," Noyes said. "But now, I see it in perspective."
"It's the finest idea that's ever come to me in all the years I've spent in the civil service and this top office," Graham said proudly.
"Maybe so," Barnes said wearily. "Maybe it is. which he thought is a commentary on you. Picking up Barnes' thoughts, Graham scowled. Just a fleeting, dubious thought, Barnes said. A doubt which I'm sure will presently be gone. He had momentarily forgotten about Graham's telepathic ability, but even if he had remembered, he nonetheless would have thought the thought. True, Graham said, nodding as he picked up this, too. Do you want to resign, Barnes? He asked, and disassociate yourself from this? No, sir, Barnes said respectfully. All right, Graham nodded. Get old Amos Ild as soon as possible. Make sure he understands that it's a state secret, and ask him to get started on an artificial analog to Corden's brain. Get the encephalograms cranking out, or however it is they go about it. Encephalograms, Barnes said, nodding in agreement. A massive, intensive study of Corden's mind. Brain. Whichever. Graham said, You gotta remember the image Irma has vis-a-vis the public. We know what she's really like, but they think of her as a kindly, generous, philanthropic do-gooder who sponsors charities and generally beautifying public works, such as floating gardens in the sky. But we know... So, Barnes interrupted, the public will think that Corden has murdered a harmless, loving person. A terrible crime, even in the eyes of undermen. Everyone will be glad when Corden is killed immediately after his vicious, senseless act. That is, if Ild's brain is good enough to fool the unusuals, the telepaths. In his mind, he could imagine the synthetic brain sending Corden ricocheting about the hanging arena, mowing people down by the hundreds. No, Graham said, picking up his thoughts once again. We'll gun him down immediately. There's no chance of a foul up there. 16 armed men, all crack shots, will fire on him instantaneously. Instantaneously, Barnes said dryly. After he's managed to shoot one particular person out of a crowd of thousands, he would have to be a damn good shot. But they'll think he was after me, Graham reminded him, and I'll be sitting in the front row. Irma, with me. In any case, he isn't going to be gunned down instantaneously, Barnes pointed out. A second or two will have to elapse while he makes a shot, and if he's a little off, you're sitting right beside her. Graham said, chewing his lip. A slip of inches, Barnes said, and it would be you, not Irma. I think your attempt to combine your problem with the Undermen and Corden and your problems with Irma into one big colorful operatic smash finale is a little too... He pondered. There's a Greek word for it. Terpsichore, Graham said. No, Barnes said. Hubris. Trying too much. Going too far. I still agree with Council Chairman Graham, Alice Noyes said in her brisk, cold crimson voice. Admittedly, it's daring. But it will solve so much. A man who rules, as does the council chairman, must be able to make such a decision to try daring maneuvers to keep the structure functioning. In this one act, I'm resigning as police director, Barnes said. Why? Graham asked, surprised. Obviously, no thoughts passing through Barnes' mind had forewarned him of this. The decision came out of nowhere. Because it will probably mean your death, Barnes said. Because Amos Ild will program it to get you, not Irma. I have an idea, Alice Noyes said. As Corden is led to the center of the arena, Irma Graham will descend from her place carrying one white rose. She will hold it out to Corden, and at that moment, he will grab a weapon from a Tulax guard and shoot her. She smiled thinly, her unusually dim eyes glittering. That ought to undermine them forever. An act of senseless viciousness like that, only a madman would kill a woman bringing him a white rose. Why white? Barnes asked. Why what white? Noyes asked. The rose. The goddamn rose. Because it's a symbol of innocence, Noyes said. Willis Graham, still chewing on his lip, still scowling, said, No, I won't do. He's gotta seem to be trying to get me because... He would have a motive for getting me, but what motive would he have for killing Irma?
To kill she who you most love.
Barnes laughed.
What's funny? Graham demanded.
Maybe it'll work, Barnes said. That's what's so funny about it. And to kill she who you most love. Can I quote you on that, Noyes? A model sentence all school children should learn. It parses so well.
Academics, Noyes said scathingly.
Hoarsely, his face red, Graham said to Barnes,
I don't care about a grammar. I don't care about my grammar. I don't care about anybody's grammar. All I care about is that this is a good plan and she agrees, and you've resigned as of now. So you have no further vote on the matter. Anyhow, if I decide to accept your resignation, I'll have to think about it. I'll tell you sometime. You can wait.
His voice submerged itself into an autistic mumble at that point as he mulled over the matter under scrutiny. All at once, he glanced up at Barnes and said,
You're in a strange mood. Usually go along with everything I suggest. What's gotten into you?
3XX24J, Barnes said.
What's that?
A sample underman apartment we're watching. We've been doing a statistical analysis with the Wyoming computer as to the characteristics of those who come and go.
And you just got news you don't like.
I got a very small piece of news, Barnes said. One average citizen, who apparently heard that Corden is going to be executed, all at once stepped across the line. Someone we had just tested, as a matter of fact. The computer didn't like that at all. Such a swing, such amplitude and loyalty, and in such a short time. Announcing Corden's execution may have been a mistake which we can still redeem. The judges could change their minds again, he added sardonically but straight-faced. I have an idea of a minor alteration in your plan, Council Chairman. Have Corden's weapon a fake, too, along with him. He points the gun and fires, and then at the same moment, a sharpshooter hidden nearby Irma takes the actual shot at her. That way the chances of hitting you can be reduced practically to zero.
A good thought, Graham said, nodding.
You would take such a suggestion seriously? Barnes asked.
It's a good suggestion. It overrides the element which you brought up as to what...
Barnes said, you must untangle your public life from your private life. You've got them all mixed in together.
And I'll tell you something else, Graham said, still red-faced and hoarse. That lawyer Denfeld. I want some Corden tracks and pamphlets planted around his apartment, and then I want to see a burst where he's caught red-handed, and we'll stick him away in Brightforth Prison along with Corden. They can talk to one another.
Denfeld can talk, Alice Noyes said, and Corden can write it all down, and the rest of the prisoners can read it.
I think, Graham said, it's a masterstroke of my innate genius to solve my public and private problems with one act. It fits the requirements of Occam's razor, if you see what I mean. You see what I mean?
Neither Barnes nor Noyes answered. Barnes was wondering how to withdraw his resignation, made hastily and without thought for future possibilities, and, as he thought this, he realized that, as always, Willis Graham was listening in.
Don't worry, Graham said. You don't need to resign. But, you know, I really like that touch about a sharpshooter placed near Irma and me, ready to pick her off when Corden fires his fake gun. Yes, that appeals to me. Thanks for the contribution.
You're welcome, Barnes said, and held down his aversion and his rapidly boiling thoughts.
I don't care, Graham said, what you think. I only care what you do. Feel as hostile as you want, it doesn't matter, just so long as you give this project your complete and immediate attention. I want it done soon. Corden might die on us or something. We need a name for the project, code term. What do we call it?
Barabbas, Barnes said.
I don't catch the meaning, but it's fine with me, Graham said. All right, from now on, it's Operation Barabbas. We'll absolutely refer to it as that in both written and oral interchanges.
Barabbas, Alice Noyes echoed. That was a situation in which the wrong one of two people was murdered.
Oh, Graham said. Well, it still sounds good enough to me.
He plucked fretfully at his lower lip.
What was the name of the person who was innocent, who they snuffed?
Jesus of Nazareth, Barnes said.
Are you drawing an analogy? Graham demanded. That Corden is like Christ?
It's been done, Barnes said. Anyhow, let me make another point. All Corden's writings have opposed force and compulsion and violence. It's inconceivable that he'd try to kill someone.
That's the point, Graham said patiently. The whole point. It will discredit everything he's written. It'll show him up as a hypocrite. It'll undermine all his tracts and booklets. Do you see?
It'll backfire, Barnes said.
You really don't like my solutions to things, Graham said, gazing at him searchingly.
I think, Barnes said, that in this case, you're being highly injudicious.
What's that mean? Graham asked.
Ill-advised.
Nobody advised me. It's my own idea.
Director Barnes gave up at that point. He let his brooding thoughts take over, and his tongue became silent. Nobody seemed to notice.
So it's on with Project Barabbas, Graham said heartily,
and smiled a wide, happy smile.